All right, Shavuot, say good morning. We have an incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is daf mem. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Lamed Tesma Beis 39b, and we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Good. So again, we thank our sponsors for the shir, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, Ed and Faith Wolf, for dedicating all the shirim and drashos in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Basvelvel. Brachas Shimber for dedicating all the shirim and drashos this month in memory of her husband, Avram Ben Kalman Eliezer. Our week of learning has been dedicated by an anonymous sponsor, the merit of a Rafua Shalima, for Kalman Leib Ben Genendel MS, and Nechama Tamar Bas Bracha Sara. We also have another week of learning sponsor, Jack Bennett, in memory of his grandfather, Chaim Fedorovsky, his first wife, Paulina, their three children, and Jack's great-grandmother, Basia Fedorovsky, who were killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam Vezichrom and Babi Yar in 1941. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all the neshamos will have an aliyah. The families, a nechama, and those who require a refuah will have a complete one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Amen. And we'll say with that, let us begin. A lot to do today. Incredible, incredible gemaras. So we'll say, let's go. So Amar Rabbi Abba. Obishabis chayiv adam livtzah shtekikar. So if you remember again, yesterday we were talking about the riveting machlokes between what do you make the bracha on? The gadol or the shalei? What has greater chashivos? What has greater importance in halacha? Something that is whole, even if it is smaller, versus something which is larger. So we saw that machlokis. Remember again, we saw the beautiful way to sidestep that machlokis is how, right? Which one do you make the bracha on? Both, right? Put the prusa, right? Put the piece underneath the shalim, make the bracha on both. Rashi said, either go ahead and take the piece of hamotzi from both of them, or just simply go ahead and take the piece of hamotzi from the shalim. Good. Now the Gemara is supposed to, by the way, Ube Shabbos, Chayiv Adam Livtzoa Ashtehikaros. On Shabbos, however, we take two loaves. We take two loaves on Shabbos. Mai Taima Lechem Mishne Ksiv. Because also, I remember again, we take two loaves on Shabbos to commemorate the miracle of the man. And by the man, we know there was a double portion, last week's parasha, a double portion that fell on Fridays. Am Rabashi, Chazinalei Rav Kahana, Dinokit Tarti, Ubatza Chada. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So the Gemara tells me that I have to make hamotzi on two loaves. The shaila then is what? But what do I have to actually take the piece of bread from? In other words, do I have to break both loaves? Do I have to cut both loaves? Do I have to eat from both loaves? Or is it just enough to eat from one? So Rav Ashi says, I saw Rav Kahana, dinakitarti, he took both loaves, ubatza chada. But he only went ahead and broke off the piece of hamotzi from one of them. And Rabbi, so we know that is halacha l'maisa, that although you're obligated to take two loaves, remember again, the process being, we'll see this also in Masech Shabbos, right? We go ahead, Rabbi, say this goes back, Mashi pointed this out to me the other day, that Tosis, it was yesterday's daf, right? Tosis points out the practice of scoring the bread, right? Of making a little cut on the bread. So again, interestingly enough, many of us have the minhag to do that on Shabbos, lav dafka as much during the week. So you have to take two complete loaves on Shabbos. But halacha l'maaseh, the Gemara is saying now, you only have to go ahead and actively eat from one of them. Remember, the minhag is on Shabbos night, we take the bottom loaf, right? We put the two loaves, one on top of the other. Shabbos night, you take from the bottom loaf. Shabbos day, you take from the top loaf. But you're only obligated to go ahead and break, quote-unquote, break one. Rabbi Zeira, that was a great Gemara. Rabbi Zeira, havabata kula shirusa. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Zeira had an interesting practice. Look at Rashi. Akula shirusa, prusa gidola shahaya lo dai lo chala suda b'shabbos. So Rabbi Zeira had an interesting practice. On Shabbos, when he would cut the challah, he would cut himself off a big chunk of challah. Big chunk of challah. Enough bread to last him throughout the entire suuda. Okay. Amrali Ravina the Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, I don't understand, how does Rabbi Zeira do this? V'ha kamischazi kirav sinusa. Doesn't it look, Rav Sinusa literally means, doesn't it look a bit hungry? And I was about to say, what that means is, there's a concept of, that a person shouldn't do something that makes it looks like he's starving. It looks a bit gluttonous. So isn't it a bit gluttonous, Rabbi Zeira, to go ahead and cut off a huge piece of challah for the whole meal? Amralei, kevan d'chol yom alo ka'avet hachi, since Rabbi Zeira wouldn't do this every day, v'ha'idna ka'avid, but he only does it on Shabbos, It doesn't look like he's starving or gluttonous. In other words, this was being done as a form of oneg Shabbos. The idea, so we'll say, what's the meal hashkaf on this? When a person goes in and cuts off a big piece of bread, what are they showing? I'm getting ready to eat, right, Mamish? This is going to be a su'uda. So that was considered to be actually a form of kavod Shabbos. This idea that I'm going ahead and going to have a big meal indicated again, I'm going to have a big su'uda Shabbos. If he did this every day, that'd be one thing. But he didn't do it every day. Instead, he just do it Shabbos. Good. Let's go back there. So the Gemara says as follows: I'm Rabbi Yasi. We'll say it's also very beautiful. So Rav Ami Rabbi Yassi had another interesting practice. They would take the bread that was used as the Eruv. So remember again, they're talking over here about Eruv Chatziros. We'll see this in Mesechas Eruvin. You have a number of homes that open up into a joint courtyard. So technically speaking, each home is its own Rishos, which means that technically speaking, no one could carry into the courtyard because it's a joint ownership courtyard. So what do? We collect food from everyone, deposit it in the home of one person, and effectively, again, home is where your food is, makes the entire courtyard connected to one domicile, and therefore everybody's permitted to carry from their homes into the courtyard. So that was classically done with a loaf of bread, amongst other things. So Rabbi Amar and Rabbi Asi, they would eat the loaf of the Eruv. Right? They would daf go out of the way to eat the Eruv loaf. They would say, I'm otzeh lechem in the aretz. Why? Amri hol this, aved be mitzvah chada, navad be mitzvah achrisi. Since we went ahead and we used it for one mitzvah, we'll use it for another mitzvah as well. And I will say, just point out, Rabbi Rashi says, rifta de ruva, sherubo esmo eruv chatzeros. Remember again, we'll say, just very careful. When would they eat the Eruv chatzeros? When? After Shabbos, right? Don't confuse this with Erev Tavshilin, right? Which you are supposed to eat on Yom Tov itself, right? You have to eat your Erev Tavshilin. If you eat your Erev Chatzeros on Shabbos, you're in a bit of trouble. I mean, you're not in trouble, but you just can't carry anymore into the common courtyard. So what he says that they ate the loaf of the Erev, they would eat it after Shabbos. Beautiful. Top of Mem. Amarav. We'll say this, by the way, is so halach lamay. So Amarav. Tol Baruch, Eino Tzarech Levarich. Listen to this case. Look at Rashi, Tap Rashi Memam Dal. Tol Baruch, Habotzei HaKodem, Shetam and Achrus. Look at this scene. And tell me this doesn't play out in people's homes at different times. Right? A person is cutting up the challah. And Baruch Hashem, I was just talking about this yesterday. You understand that when you're making motzi, this comes up most on Shabbos, when you're making motzi, right? When you cut the challah, it's not a time to be gracious and give your guests first. When you're cutting the challah, you, the mevarich, must take the first bite. That's the halacha. You take the first bite. Again, you don't sit there and eat like a half a challah while your guests are sitting there looking longingly at you. You know, you take a bite, and then you hand out to your guests afterwards. What happens in this case over here where a person is cutting up the challah? He didn't take a bite yet. He's cutting up the challah, and he's, please take a piece. Tol Baruch, take a piece and make a bracha. He's telling his guest to take a piece of challah. So what's the halacha? Eino tzarech levarich. He does not have to repeat the bracha of hamotzi, which is another way of saying that the act of telling someone to take a piece of challah and make a bracha, even though again you made hamotzi yourself, you have not yet eaten, is not a hefsek. Why I both say the halacha with the hefsek with it? Now again, it's not encouraged. Remember, this is ex post facto. This is if you did it already, you would not have to make another hamotzi. Very important idea. The concept of a hefsek, of an interruption, means saying something that has nothing to do with the mitzvah at hand. Saying something that is totally extraneous to the mitzvah you are engaged in. I'm making hamotzi, right? And I'm being motzi others. I'm discharging others' obligations through my bracha. I want them to eat bread. When I tell you, please take a piece of bread, although I should not do this. I should make hamotzi. I should take a bite, right? Remember again, etiquette comes in different forms when you're making hamotzi for other people. Cut your challah. You take the bite first and then begin to hand out the challah. But if you said, before you took a bite of hamotzi, before you took a bite of bread, you said, please, everybody take a piece. That's not called the hefsek. However, havei melach v'havei liftan tzarech levarich. But if you ask for salt, right? If you ask for salt, or you ask, liftan is usually translated as like a relish. So any other condiment, right? If you go ahead and you ask for salt, or you ask for a different kind of condiment, tzarech levarich. then ultimately, again, that is a hefsek. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Afilu heviu melech heviu lifta nami in tzarech levarech. Well, say, even if after I make hamotzi, I realize there's no salt on the table, right? And I go ahead and I say, can you please bring the salt? That's also not the hefsek. Again, the logic makes sense. Why does the logic make sense? Because halacha lemaisa, it's not extraneous to the matter at hand. As we're going to see, and we've seen already a little bit, we'll see it more, which is that there's a concept of dafka, dipping the challah into salt for two reasons. Number one, to make the bread more edible, which was their concern, but also because there's an element of chashivas habracha, always having salt on the table, because the table resembles a mizbeach, an altar. There was always salt on the sacrifices. So again, we'll see all of this. But the idea of asking for salt, halacha lemaisa, is not a hafsik. However, gavil l'turi, but if I say, feed the animals, right? Feed the oxes, that is a hefsek. However, Rav Sheshe Amar, afilu gavil l'turi nami ino tzarech levarech. Rav Sheshe says, even if you made a motzi, you didn't yet take the bite of your challah, and you say what? Can someone please feed the oxen? That's also not a hefsek. Why not? Then Rav Yehuda Amarav, asru la'adam shiochal kolim shi'itin machal behemto. You are not allowed to eat, you are not allowed to sit down for a meal before you feed your animals. You must feed your animals before you sit down to eat. Shene'emar, v'nasati esav b'sat chalivamtecha, because the Pasuk says, I will go ahead, in Shema, I will go ahead and give the grass of the field to eat for your animals. V'hadar v'achalta v'salata. Then it says, you shall eat and be sated. So you see from here that what? First, there's an obligation to give my animals to eat before I sit down to eat. And I'm both saying, this is all halacha lemaisa. It turns out that the definition of a hefsek, is something that is extraneous to the matter or to the mitzvah at hand. But if you're saying something that halacha lemaisa has to do with the mitzvah you are engaged in, that is not a hefsek. So, for example, if I tell people take a piece of challah, it's not a hefsek. If I go ahead and ask for salt, it's not a hefsek. I ask for a knife, it's not a hefsek. Now, we'll say, obviously, the goal is not to do these things. But I'll tell you something very interesting that comes up. We'll say, you know how sometimes, right, there's something not on the table, so what happens? The charades, right, And it takes 15 minutes for everyone to figure out what it is that you're saying. Interestingly enough, it's better to say salt than to start. No one knows what you're doing. No one knows what you're talking about. It's better just to say salt. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says the best thing to do is to say melach. He says, if possible, he said, use Lashon HaKodesh. Use Hebrew. Now, that only works if people know what you're talking about. Melach. Yeah, of course, right? Then it defeats the purpose. But the idea, interestingly enough, is these things, halacha lemaisa, are not considered a hefsek if they're necessary for the meal. And again, Mishnah Berurah literally says, better just to say a word and get it done with and expedite the process than to try to act things out and prolong the process. Salacha. Amar Rav, we'll say, but like most things in life, the goal is plan ahead. Right? Plan ahead. Right? The good news is there's not so much surprise that comes about during our seudos. You need pretty much the same basic things, bread, a knife, and salt. Right? So the idea is, in most things in life, plan ahead, right? Make sure it's there beforehand and avoid the need to be mafsik in anyway. But if for some reason it's not there, halacha lemaisa, these items do not constitute the hefsek. Good. So the Gemara goes right there. Amar Rav, Bar Shmuel, Mishon, Rabbi Chiya. Ein Yabal Tzeh Rasha Yilivtsoa Ad Sheyaviyu Melech HaLiftan Lifnei Kol Echad Ve'echad. So we'll say, now an interesting halacha. A person ultimately, again, should not make hamotzi until every person has salt or a condiment. Now, both say, now this represented the way they ate their meals. Remember, you have to appreciate something. In Talmudic times, people had their own tables, right? So everybody was situated at their own little table. So therefore, again, the way it worked was everybody had their own salt, right? So it's different today when everybody's seated at one table. But the idea is you ideally don't want to make hamotzi until everyone will be ready to go ahead and partake of their piece of bread. So today it's a little bit different, especially on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where we'll go ahead and after making hamotzi, you'll dip the challah in the salt before you go ahead and you pass it away. The idea is to minimize the amount of interruption, or not interruption, to minimize the amount of waiting in between the bracha and consumption. Rava Bar Shmuel, ikla lebe reish galusa. So Rava Bar Shmuel went to the house of the reish galusa, as well as I just want to point out. So this is Rava saying that halacha lemaisa, you shouldn't go ahead and make your hamotzi until ultimately everyone has their salt or their condiment. Now we'll say, now the idea over here is, why the need for salt? I just mentioned this before. The need for salt is twofold. Number one, it appears that during times of the Gemara, most breads were bland. So because of that, a bland bread is not so chashev to make a bracha on. A little bit of salt was needed to make the loaf a bit more chashev. This is in addition to the general concept, and we'll see this, of keeping salt on your table. There is a concept of always having salt, not just Shabbos Yom Tov, always having salt on the table. Because again, as we'll see, that the table is domer lemizbeach, the table is compared to the altar. Akol karbancha takriv melach, there was salt on every single carbon, and therefore there's a concept of having salt. But that's not this. This is, in order to make the bread most appealing for the sake of the bracha, you would put salt. So therefore, Rava Bar Shmuel says, make sure everyone has their salt before you make the bracha. So watch this. So Rava Bar Shmuel, Iklo Be'Resh Galusa, Rava Bar Shmuel went to the house of the Resh Galusa. Remember, the Resh Galusa was the head of Babylonian Jewry. Afiku Le Rifta U'Batzel Hedja. They brought him bread, and he made a bracha immediately, apparently without waiting for salt. Amrule Hadir Mar Mishmait. They said, Rebbe, did you recant? Did you retract your previous ruling that you need salt? Amr lehu, less din tzarech bashash. This bread does not require waiting. In other words, which is another way of saying that this is good. Look, this is Reish Galusa's house. Right? Reish Galusa's house, they're serving good bread. This is very flavorful bread. Therefore, halach lemaisa doesn't require salt. Which I will say, so therefore, again, for example, many contemporary poskim hold that our bread today very often fits into this category of Reish Galusa bread. It's flavorful on its own, even without the salt. So technically speaking, if one doesn't have salt, one doesn't have salt. Of course, again, the halacha says you should dip in salt before you go ahead and... Or by the way, it's not just salt. You see why the Gemara says liftan, right? Some type of condiment, which is why sometimes if you don't have salt, but there's some other dip that's there, that's fine also. That accomplishes. The goal is to make the prusa, to make the piece of hamotzi as appealing as possible. Beautiful. V'amar Rava Bar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Eimei raglaim kalim. So we'll say, so now we're switching gears, right? So now listen to this. The common denominator over here is Rava Bar Shmuel, right? This is all Rava Bar Shmuel. So Amar Rava Bar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Eimei raglaim kalim ela b'yeshiva. A person could only totally, fully relieve themselves from, you're talking about urinating now, if they're sitting. It's actually very interesting. What's the logic over here? So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Eimei raglaim kalim minagof ela b'yeshiva lefi kishahakiluach karov lifsok hu doik shelo yiplu nitzotos aragla v'masek. So we'll say, remember again, we've seen this many times before, that there was a general concern ultimately, again, when urinating, of droplets, right? Droplets on one's shoes, as the concern that one would give off the appearance of a krus shafcha, someone ultimately, again, who was damaged in some way and unable to produce a normal urine and therefore semen flow as well. That has many different ramifications we're not getting into now. So therefore the Gemara says, when a person urinates, they never fully relieve themselves. Why? Because again, as the flow becomes less and the occult flecker return, like the arc, lessens and it comes closer to your feet, there's the concern ultimately again about droplets on one's shoes. So because of that, the Gemara assumes one stops urinating at an earlier time, even before they fully relieve themselves. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, the only way to fully relieve yourself is sitting. But if a person is standing in a place where there's loose dirt, so we'll say, what's the chap with loose dirt? Chap with loose dirt is there's no splashback. Right, so because there's no splashback, a person will feel comfortable fully relieving themselves. It doesn't worry about the droplets. So what happens if there's no loose dirt? So yamol b'makom gavoa, v'yashil l'makom adron. Good. If there's no loose dirt, what do? Right, stand on a high place, and just urinate down. Right, so that's good. V'amarav arshmo mishli d'abchia. So now we're going to get into some dietary suggestions. Quite amazing. Eat some salt after every meal. Just like a little bit of salt. Eat some salt after every meal. And after you're drinking, right? Meaning after whatever you drink, your wine or whatever else, make sure to drink water. And if you do this, if you eat some salt after your food, and if you drink water after whatever it is that you're drinking, you will not be harmed. You'll be a healthy person. Tanya Namiachi, a brisa that supports this. Acher kol achilascha echal melach. Eat a little bit of salt after your meal. Acher kol shtiascha shesein mayim. Drink some water after whatever else you're drinking. V'ata nizik, and you will not be harmed. Tanya idach, another brisa. Acher kol machal v'lo. Excuse me. Achal kol machal v'lo achal melach. If you ate food and you did not eat salt afterwards, shasa kol mashkin v'lo shasa mayim, or you had a drink, right? You drank something. Let's say, for example, wine, and you didn't drink water afterwards. Bayom yidag min reachape. During the day, you have to be worried about bad breath. Ubalayla yidag mipnei askara. And at night, chas v'shalom, you have to worry about askara. Right? So askara ultimately, again, was a disease that could have proved fatal. So we'll say it's interesting. So now it's saying that the notion of salt after you eat, water after you drink by day was good to alleviate bad breath. But at night, if you didn't do it, apparently, if you went to sleep without having some water, without having some salt afterwards, it was felt that it could be very dangerous to one's health. Tan Rabbanon. If literally it means if one drowns his food in water, he will not come to any intestinal illness, which is another way of saying drink a lot. Drink a lot of water, and ultimately, again, a person will be healthy. And how much should you drink? V'kama amrab chista kiton lapas. One entire flask of water for every loaf of bread. Amrab mari amrab yochanan harogil ba'adoshin. If someone eats lentils regularly, achos l'shloshi omenei askara. If you eat lentils once every 30 days, it's good for preventing askara. Manech askara mitoch beso. Aval kol yom alo, but you shouldn't eat lentils every day. My time, what's the reason? Mishum dekash l'reach apeh. It's detrimental for bad breath. Right? It causes bad breath. V'amrav mari amrav yochanan. Harogil b'chardol. If someone eats mustard. I will say now, generally when they say mustard, they're normally referring to mustard seed. If one eats mustard seed, achos l'shloshim yom, if he eats mustard seed once every 30 days, moneah chaloi mitoch beso. So mustard seed once every 30 days is good to prevent illness. Aval koyoma lo, but eating mustard seed every day is not good. My time, mishum dekasha l'chul shad deliba. It causes weakness of the heart. Too much mustard seed is not good. Amrav chia bar ashim rav, harogil bedogim kitanim, if someone eats small fish, so small fish, I guess, are good for digestion. I'm sorry? Herring? It's good. Right, herring, good. Right. Good. So right, so ultimately, again, a person eats small fish, it's good for digestion. V'lo od ela, shedagim ketanim marfin umarbin umarvin kol gufo shel adam. But say furthermore, again, apparently, so small fish ultimately, again, have a positive impact apparently on fertility as well and just general health. Am Rabbi Cham, Rabbi Chanina. We'll say first of the intermediate wide lines, Memo and Aleph. Am Rabbi Cham, Rabbi Chanina. Harog yo bekatzach, eino bali de ke'ev leiv. So we'll say if one eats katzach. Now, there's a couple of different explanations to what katzach is. Rashi seems to understand that it's what's called fennel. That's why it's called fennel. One goes ahead and eats fennel, doesn't come to any type of heartache. Right, apparently it's good for the heart. Meisvei, Rabbi Shimon Leolomer, Ketzach, yet Rabbi Shimon Leol said, Ketzach echad mishishim samani hamovesu. So Rabbi Shimon Leol says, Ketzach is one of the 60 strong types of poison, which is not saying don't eat it. Right, don't eat it. So which one is it? So we're just saying Ketzach is good. Person doesn't come to prevents heart illness. Now we're saying it's mamish like a poison. Vayoshin lemizrach girano, dama boroshan. If someone sleeps to the east of where they're storing ketzach, he's responsible for the loss of his lung. In other words, sleeping downwind from fennel is also very bad for you. So which one is it? Lokasha habarecho habitamo. So I say, so apparently the reyach, the smell of fennel, right? The smell of fennel is very detrimental, right? But the taste is actually very beneficial. Similarly, again, imei drab yirmiya, afile rifta, Rabbi Yirmiyah's mother, when she used to prepare bread for him, would go ahead and put some fennel on it, allow the bread to absorb the flavor of the fennel, but would then peel it off afterwards so that it shouldn't smell it. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Borei Mini Yidusha. So let's get back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said there are things that grow from the ground, herbs that grow from the ground. you make the bracha of borei minei disharm. Remember again, Rabbi Yehuda felt that borei pri adama is still too general. You have to make a more specific bracha, borei minei disharm. So it says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Zeira v'itim Rabbi Chinina bar Papa, ein halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. My time, Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's answer? We'll say, in other words, why isn't Rabbi Yehuda happy with Borei Pri Adama? Why does he require an additional, more specific bracha of Borei Minei Dishayim? So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The pasuk says in Tehillim, literally again, Bless Hashem Yom Yom, day day. V'chiba Yom Mevarchen Oso. First of the widest lines, V'chiba Yom Mevarchen Oso, B'layla Yom Mevarchen Oso. What does that mean? Do we only bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu by day and not by night? Ela Lomar Lecha is actually a very beautiful drasha. Kol Yom V'Yom Teino Me'ein Birchosav. Also, rather, what David HaMelech was saying is, each and every day, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the blessings in accordance with that day. In other words, each day, Rabbi Yosef, brings with it a brand new reality. And with that brand new reality, brand new circumstances. Bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the circumstances of the day, recognizing that the brachas I have for the Ribbono Shel Olam change day after day after day. Similar idea. Hachinami komin umin teimlo me'ein birchosav. So it's Rabbi Yehuda holds that literally, again, every species, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a shevach, give him praise in accordance with every single different, unique type of species. So we'll say, so just like, again, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day, and every day gets its own unique bracha. So if you think about it, what an incredible hashkaf asachayim, what an incredible way to live life. So a lot of times you praise HaKadosh, of course, you all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, but a lot of times it's the same praises, to look for something unique in each and every day to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, right? What's special today? What's special about my circumstances? What is it that I perceive in the world? What's to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a specialized and unique shevach, specialized and unique praise every single day. David HaMelech says that's the goal of successful living, to see something unique in yourself, in your world, in your God, and to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevach for that, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So says Rabbi Yehuda, the same way every day gets its own specific bracha, every item should get its own specific bracha. But of course, we don't follow like Rabbi Yehuda. Good. We'll say beautiful Gemara. See how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so different than man. How so? Midas basar v'adam kli reikan machzik male eno machzik. But you know, in the physical world, an empty utensil can be filled up with something, but something that is full cannot be filled up anymore. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Enokim. God is just the opposite. Listen to how beautiful this is. Moli Machzik, Rekon Enio Machzik. They both say, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if your vessel is filled, He'll fill it more. But if your vessel is empty, He will not. What does this mean? What does the Rebbe say? It's actually quite beautiful. The idea being, the Gemara says, Shnei Amar, Vayomer Im Shamoa Tishma. Im Shamoa Tishma, V'im Lav Lo Tishma. See, Rebbe says, the way it works with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is as follows. In the earthly world, if the vessel is empty, you can fill it up with something. But if it's full, it can no longer retain anything more. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you fill your utensil being you, you fill it with holiness, you fill it with Kiddusha, you fill it with Torah, you fill it with mitzvos, God will help you fill it more and more and more. But if you chas v'shalom leave your vessel empty, if it's empty, then it remains empty. That which is full can always be made fuller, but that which is empty ultimately remains empty. Which will say is an incredible yisur. As he quotes the pasuk, Vayayim Shamoa Tishma. If you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will be given the privilege to hear more. The idea of being able to say, "Bederach sha'adam rotze leilech molichin oso." Hashem sees the path in life that I want to take and enables me to continue down that path. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that I am a mevakish, if I am seeking out something greater for myself, I'm seeking out holiness for myself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will propel me, help me along that path. But if He sees that I'm not really seeking out anything, then ultimately, again, the utensil remains empty. An incredible, incredible Gemara. So the Gemara says, Davar Acher, Im Shamoa Biyashan Tisha V'Chadash. Alternatively, if you hear in that, if you hear the old, you'll hear the new. Vim Yifna Levavcha, but if your heart turns away, Shuv Lo Tishma, you will not hear anything. They'll say, life is all about determining your Ratzon. What is it that you want out of life? What is it that you want from yourself? And once you determine that for yourself definitively, and you're ready to take decisive action, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you along that path. An incredible Gemara. Mishnah. Berech HaPera Se'ilam Re'pi Adama Yatza. That's an interesting halacha. If you make Ha'adama on fruits that grow from the tree. So I have something that is really a bracha of Ha'itz, but I make the bracha of Ha'adama on it. Ultimately, again, I am Yotzei. But obviously, if you make your Brei Priya Eitz, something that grows on the ground, halacha lemaaseh, I'm not Yotzei. So we'll say, so that you understand the logic. Right? If you make a Hadama, something that grows from a tree, that bracha works. Why? Why? Because the statement is true, right? Because trees grow from the ground also. Masha'inkein, if you make a Ha'itz, something that grows from the ground, that bracha doesn't work because the statement is false. Right? It doesn't come from the tree, it comes from the ground. And the Gemara says, furthermore, va'al kulam, imam shakol ni'abidvar yatsa. Because interesting, halacha, on every item, technically speaking, if you said shakol, you're yotzei. Now we'll see what every item actually means. Says the Gemara, man tana de'ikar ilan arahi, who is the opinion who says that the ikar of a tree is the ground, which Rabbi says, why? Let's say you have an apple, right? The apple gets a ha'itz. If you go ahead and you say ha'adama on the apple, technically speaking, you are yotzei. So Rabbi say, why is that? Because we assume that even something that grows from the ground, the ikar of that which grows from the tree is still the ground. Whose opinion is that? I don't know. Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehudihi, Disnan, Yavash Hamayon, V'niktzas Ha'ilan, Mevi Ve'eno Kori. It was Rabbi Kurim. Then Allah says, if you brought first fruits, and ultimately, again, by the time you brought the fruits, the Mayon, which is the spring that sustains the field, or the tree was dried up, or the tree was cut down, you bring the Bikurim, ultimately, again, but what? But you don't go ahead and say the psukim. Why don't you say the psukim? So Rashi says, because you can't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fruit that came from the ground which you gave me. In other words, this first opinion holds that since the spring that fed the trees, or the tree itself that grew the fruit, is no longer there, so you can't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Adama. Rabbi Huda says, no, maybe a Kor. Rabbi Huda says, as long as the earth is there, right, as long as the physical ground is there, that is enough, you could say the Pesukim. So you see, Rabbi Huda holds that even for fruits that grow from the tree, the Adama, the earth which supports them, is the Iker, which is why Halacha Lamaisa, even if the irrigation pond is gone, even if the tree itself is gone, as long as the earth is still in existence, ultimately one could recite the Pesukim of Bikurim. Good. Apeira Sa'aretz. So Pshita. So it's obvious that Halacha Lamaisa, on fruits that grow from the tree, you make the bracha of Borei Priya Eitz. Right? What's the chiddush in this? Samra Nachar Bayisak Lo Nitzucha El Rabbi Huda Dam Rechita Min Ilani. This is an incredible Gemara. It's really necessary in accordance to the position of Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda holds that chita, wheat, is actually a form of a tree. Now, what does that mean? Watch this, Rabbi. This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Desanya. Watch this, Braisa. Ilan she'achal mimena Adam Rishon. Rabbi say, here's what's interesting. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam Rishon, right, that he's not allowed to eat from the Eitz Das Tovara. He cannot eat from the tree of good and evil. Right? He cannot eat from the tree of good and evil. I'm sorry. Right? He can't eat from the tree of good and evil, tree of the Eitz Achayim. So the interesting part is that the Torah does not tell us what type of tree it was. So there's a machlokes. Ilan she'achal adam mimena Rishon. Rabbi Meir says gefen haya. Rabbi Meir says it was grapes. Right? It was actually a vine. So she'ein lechav davar shemivi yilala al adam el elyan. Because we know there is nothing that gets people into as much trouble as wine. Shene emar vayesh liyayin vayishka. Right? Remember again, by Noach this happened. So therefore again, we'll say, what's the one plant that throughout the ages has gotten people into the most amount of trouble? The one tree? It must be grapes. Therefore, again, that was the forbidden fruit. Rabbi Nechemi Omer Te'ina Haisa. Nechemi says, no, it was a fig tree. How do you know that? Shebedavar Sheneskalkulabo Niskenu. Sheneemar Vayitburu Ale Te'ina. So, what's interesting, Rabbi Nechemi says it was a fig tree. How do I know? because the item that he messed up with was the item that he sought refuge in. Remember again, when Adam, quote unquote, discovers his nakedness, so he clothes himself in fig leaves. So the tree through which he messed up was the tree through which he sought refuge. Rabbi Huda says, Chita. He says, ultimately, again, it's wheat. Why is it wheat? Shein hatinok yodea likros abba v'ima at shiyitom tam dagan. A child really only begins to develop his intellect when he or she begins to eat grain-based products. So you see, the consumption of grain ultimately sharpens some level of intellect. So remember again, what happens after Adam and Chava eat from the forbidden fruit? Torah says, Vayedu. There was a yediyah. There was an understanding. Rabbi Huda backs into this. He says children are bumped up a level in intellect when they begin to eat grain items. It must be that Adam ate wheat, and that's what caused his awareness. So I'll say, you might have thought, therefore, if wheat is indeed a form of... And Rabbi Huda says, so therefore the Torah is calling wheat, according to Rabbi Huda. So remember, Rabbi Huda holds it's wheat. Rabbi Huda backs into that. Why is it wheat? Because wheat is something that gives you some level of intellect. So now, if Adam ate from wheat, and the Torah phrases the prohibition that Adam was allowed to eat from a tree, therefore wheat is a type of ilan. Wheat is a type of tree. So I might have thought that I should have to make a brei priya eitz on wheat as well. Kamash malan, and therefore the Mishnah comes to teach us, Hecha mevarchina brei priya eitz. When do you make brei priya eitz? Hecha dechishaklis leleperi isi legavza vahadermathik. Rabbi say, this is incredibly important, although we're not going to get to do justice to it now. When do you make a brei priya eitz on something? When you take the item off the branch still remains and will produce fruit the next year, known as a perennial. So Rabbi say, this is incredibly important, because this gets into some of the interesting fruit items that appear to grow on trees, yet don't get a bracha of ha'itz, get a bracha of hadama. Gemara is going to say, when do you make ha'itz? Rabbi, you understand what's happening over here? Even the Rabbi Yehuda holds that halacha lamaisa on a categorical level, wheat is considered to be an eitz. Wheat is considered to be growing from a tree, so to speak. You might have thought, therefore, that halacha lamaisa gets a bracha of hadama. Kamasha, no. When do you make hadama? Hadama is only made on a fruit. Ha'etz only made on a fruit that you would go ahead and take from a branch where the branch remains, and the branch, same branch, will produce fruit the next year. So even though technically speaking wheat is a min ilan, it does not satisfy that category and therefore does not get the bracha of ha'etz. Aval amadeis. Aval hecha dechishak les lepeira. Leisei legavza dehadr mafik lo mevarchino lebrei priya eitz ele brei priya adama. But I will say, ultimately again, we're to take something from a branch, and ultimately again, the branch is no longer there, or the branch won't produce any fruit the next year. Such an item does not get to ha'etz, rather it gets ha'adama. Good. Va'akulam im amar shahakol. And I will say, so remember, on all items, if you said a shahakol, technically speaking, you're yotzei. Itmar Ravuna Amar Chutz min Apasim min Ayayim. So we'll say, remember, as you mentioned before, the shaila is, what does everything mean? So it comes under Ravuna. Ravuna says everything means everything except for bread and wine. Rav Shakal works for everything except bread and wine. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Pasim Yayin. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Technically speaking, even if you made a shakal on bread and wine, although again not ideal, technically it works. So the Gemara's name of Katanai. So we'll say, maybe this is Machlokes Tanaim. So I'll say, so remember again, Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Huna is saying shakal works on everything but bread and wine. Rabbi Yochanan saying it works even on bread and wine. So maybe it's a Machlokes. Watch this. Ra'apas, a person sees a loaf of bread. And he says, Va'amar, kamenoa pasu. What a nice loaf of bread. Right? Nice loaf of bread. Baruch ha'makum shebera'a. Blessed is God who created this loaf of bread. Yotza. So mostly this opinion says that constitutes a bracha. Lo ateina. So if a person saw a fig, va'amar kama no ateina zu. What a beautiful fig. Baruch ha'makum shebera'a. Blessed is God who went ahead and made this. Yotza. You have fulfilled the obligation of bracha. Div Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. So also according to Rabbi Meir, even if you did not use the exact formulation of a bracha, but you identified the food item, said how nice the food item is, and recognized that God created it, you have fulfilled your obligation. Rabbi Yossi says, on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says that Allah, no, Chazal coined a certain verbiage for brachas, a certain wording for brachas. That's it. That's what you have to use. If you use the right one, good. If you use the wrong one, you're not yotzei. So says the Gemara, Neymar Rav Huna Damar Krab Yosi, Rav Yochanan Damar Krab Meir. So we'll say, so let's align these shitos. It must be that Rav Huna, who said that what? That shahakol does not work for bread and wine. He holds like Rabbi Yossi. Right? Rabbi Yossi says there is a wording for brachos. There's a verbiage. If you use the right verbiage, it works. If you use the wrong verbiage, it doesn't work. Versus Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that halacha l'maaseh, shakol even works for bread and for wine, holds that in general, as long as you recognize the item and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, you're good to go. To which the Gemara says, Amalek Rav Huna, no. Rav Huna says, Ana da'ami afilu Rabbi Meir. Rav Huna says, I remember again, Rav Huna says shahakol does not work for bread and wine. So Rav Huna says, my position is even in alignment with Rabbi Meir, who holds, Rabbi Meir holds in general, as long as you recognize the item and that God created it, you yotzi the bracha. So ad kan lo kam Rabbi Meir hasam elaheichav de kamat kesh made the pass. Because the Meir, again, we'll say, Rabbi Meir is holding that you have to recognize that it's bread. Aval heichav de lo kamat kesh made the pass. But I will say, if you just said shakol niya bidvaro, in which case what? You're not recognizing bread. You're not articulating that it's bread. Afilu Rabbi Meir mod, even Rabbi Meir would say that it doesn't work. Rabbi Yochanan will say, anadarmi afilu ki Rabbi Yossi. My position works even according to Rabbi Yossi. How so? Ad kano karan Rabbi Yossi hazam, ela mishon li karan bracha adlal takin rabbanan. So right, Rabbi Yossi holds that it doesn't work because you didn't use a bracha as formulated by Chazal. Aval amr shakol niya bidvaro de takin rabbanan. But if you said shakol niya bidvaro, which is what? A bona fide bracha. Afilu Rabbi Yehud, afilu Rabbi Yossi mode. Even Rabbi Yossi ultimately again would agree. So we'll say, it's a fundamental machlokes. So the truth is now, there are two concepts being introduced here. Concept number one, or machlokes number one is, if you said shahakol on bread and wine, does it work? That's machlokes number one, right? Issue number two is what happens if you don't use the verbiage as established by Chazal, but instead you use a different wording for brachos, does that work or not? So watch this. Binyamin Raya, so Binyamin the shepherd, Karach Rifta, he took bread, Va'amar Barich Mare Dahai Pito, and he said, blessed is God, the master of this bread. So Amar Rav, Yotza, Rav said, Shkoyach, good bracha, right? You're Yotze. I, V'amar Rav, Kol Bracha Hashem Ba'askar Hashem in a bracha. But one second, a bracha requires the name of God. Right, and here Abba Binyamin didn't say the name of God, so how could it be a good bracha? The Amar Baruch Rachmana Marei Dahai Pito. No, he did say the name of God. He said, "Blessed Rachmana, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of this bread." I v'haba inon shalosh brachas. So this is interesting. So they're assuming over here that Binyamin Raya, that Binyamin the shepherd would say he's yotze. They thought he's yotze for benching. Doesn't benching require three brachas? So my yotze de kamar, my yotze de kamarav, nam yotze de bracha rishona. No. What it means is he's yotze bracha rishona. In other words, that works as a hamotzi. That works as a hamotzi bracha, wouldn't work for benching. So the Gemara says, my kamashalon. So we'll say first of the wide lines. So what is it coming to teach us? Afa gav da amr baloshon chol, that's teaching us that even if you said a bracha in non-Hebrew form. So remember again, Baruch Rachmana Dahai Pito. Blessed is God, the master of this bread. It's enough. That's Aramaic. Right? That's Aramaic. So you see from here that what? Even if you made a bracha in Aramaic, you didn't use Lashon HaKodesh, you're still Yotzei. So we learned that already. Tanina, Ve'ilu Neymar Mechol Lashon, Mishkan Sota. These are the items that can be said in any language. Parashas Sota, Vidui Meiser, Kriyashma, Tfila, Birkas HaMazon. So basically, the fact that you could say benching in any language, if it's true for bracha achrona, then what? It'll be true for bracha rishona. As also, what's the chiddush? Saladait chamina, because you might have thought, hani miri damar b'loshon chol, ki hechi detakin rabbanan b'loshon kodesh. So I might have thought, when is it that you're allowed to say a bracha in another language? That's when you're saying another language, direct translation of the bracha. So if I were to say, blessed are you God, master of the universe, who extracts bread from the earth, that's when the bracha works. Because what am I doing? I'm doing a direct translation of the bracha. However, Aval lo amra baloshon chol, ki hechi de takinu rabbanon balashon kodesh imalo. But I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, to say a bracha in another language that's not a direct translation of the actual bracha as codified by Chazal should not work. Kamash malon that it does. We'll say kamash malon that if you say a bracha in another language, even if it's not a direct translation of the bracha as codified by Chazal, the bracha still works. Now we'll say, now let's define the parameters of that. Gufa amarav, kol bracha shein ba'azkar es Hashem ina bracha. Any bracha that doesn't have a mentioning of the name of God is not a bona fide bracha. Rabbi Yochanan amar kol bracha shein ba'malchus ina bracha. Not only that, it's not just have to say the name of God, there must be some mentioning of the monarchical identity of God. So there must be a reference to the name of God and a reference to God being a king. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Kavose derav mistabra. According to Rav, who says that you require the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seems to be clear. Disanya, lo avarti mimitzosecha v'lo shachachti. By vidui meiser, by the confession of tithes, right? I have not gone ahead, I have not violated any of your mitzvahs, and I have not forgotten. Lo avarti, so we'll say we dash in that to mean, lo avarti milivarechacha, I did not transgress and that I did not fail to bless you. V'lo shachachti milahask yishmecha. And I never forgot to mention your name. V'ilu malchus lo katoni. But yet ultimately again, there's no mentioning ultimately again of the monarchical identity of God. Rabbi Yochanan tani v'lo shechachti milahask yishmecha u'malchuscha alav. Rabbi Yochanan will say, no, I never forgot to mention your name, nor did I forget to ever go ahead and mention malchus. And Rabbi say, shalach l'maisa, let's talk about halacha l'maisa in these three areas. Number one, every bracha must have shem malchus. In order for a bracha to be a bona fide bracha, it must have a mention of God's name and a mention of God's monarchical identity. Rabbi say, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you make a bracha in another language, even if it is not a translation of the bracha, it works. As long as you go ahead and mention God's name and the fact that he's king. So for example, the Shulchan Aruch says exclusively, if you were to say, Baruch Rachmana Dahai Pita, if you were to say, Baruch Rachmana Malka Dahai Pita, if you were to say, blessed is God the king, over this piece of bread, you say in Aramaic, it works. It works. So if you were to say, God, you are the king over everything, including this piece of bread, and you eat the bread, you have fulfilled your obligation of a bracha. Again, not ideal. Ideally, we always like to use the same verbiage as established by Chazal. We like to be Mishana. But technically speaking, if you did so, you would be Yotze the bracha. That is explicitly codified in Shulchan Aruch. But again, you must have the name of God and a mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malchus, mention of monarchical identity. Number two, if you make a shakal on anything, technically speaking, you are Yotze, even bread and wine. On attack, obviously, again, not ideal, but if you did it halacha lemaisa, you are Yotze. Good, says the Mishnah. We'll say, what about something that doesn't grow from the ground? Omer shakol niyabidvaro. You say the bracha of shakol. Ala chometz va'ala novlos va'ala govai. So we'll say chometz is vinegar. Vinegar that comes from right wine or from grapes that did not develop. Novlos, the Gemara is going to give me a definition. And govai. Govai literally are locusts. Right? Locusts, you make a shakol. Omer shakol niyabidvaro. Rabbi Huda says no. Kol shu min klala in mevarchen alav. So Rabbi Huda says anything that is a min klala. So what sounds like it's saying over here is anything that comes about because of something that went wrong, right? So vinegar is a good example of that, right? Vinegar is wine that went bad or grapes that went bad. Locusts are not a good thing, right? So novlos, we don't know the definition yet, so we'll see what that means. Rabbi, this anything that's a min klala, you do not recite a bracha on it. How you the fun of min and harbe? What happens was if you have many types of food in front of you, which bracha do you make first? Rabbi Huda Omer im yesh b'nei min shiva alavu mabarich. Rabbi Huda says, if amongst the items you have in front of you, one of them is the shiva, I mean the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, you make a bracha on that. Recham nucham say, mabarich al izim and shiyirtza. You can make a bracha on whatever you want. So again, we'll discuss the parameters of that machlokes as well. We'll say one more line. Tan Rabbanon, al davar shein gidula min haaretz, something that does not grow from the ground. So what bracha do you make? Kegon basar behemus, chayis va'ofos v'dogim, omer shakol nia bedvaro. Any item that doesn't grow from the ground, meat, fowl, fish, you say shakol, ala cholav, ala beitzim, ala gvina. Something again, milk, eggs, cheese, omer shakol, ala pas sheifsha What about bread that went moldy? Va'alayayin shehikrim, wine that turned sour. Alatav shil shavar tsuraso, or some other food item that has lost its form, i.e. it's spoiled. So again, a moment, so remember, it's still technically edible, but not really recognizable in its original form. Omer, shakel. Alazom, alamelech, v'alazom is on salt, on brine. Kimin upitrios. Truffles and mushrooms. Omer, shahakel. Ultimately, again, you go ahead and recite Shaka. So we'll stop over here. We will pick up Emir Tzah Hashem. Actually, it's just finished. I don't know. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tzah Hashem with truffles and mushrooms. Emir Tzah Hashem tomorrow morning. Shkoyah.